who made it look like this. And especially to the individual who installed the one missing screw for the wreaths around here. That was great. Couple of announcements as we start. At the back, Darlene Gibbons has faithfully sat as a certificate sales lady. I don't know what else to say. We have a not only the treasures book, but a gift certificate program. And we have lists of just every gift certificate imaginable. And so if you're thinking of doing any type of gift card, gift certificate for Christmas, do it this way. And we receive some money back to pour into our mission. So if the past few weeks hearing Julie and Michael Alamu and different missions things have had an effect on your heart, this is a great, easy way to do that. A couple other new things this week. There's a clock at the back. So I have to make sure that I am doing okay. And just so that I keep us, you know, everyone's looking now. It's not big enough. It's not for you. It's for me. And so I picked up that one at Canadian Tire, and Jennifer ordered one online. She tells me it's about 10 times as big. So we'll see when it comes in. Another thing I did this week, because sometimes, honestly, during service, when God moves, we just step aside. And sometimes some of the content that we go through in service, some of the stories we'd like to share, we don't always have time to do that. So I started up a blog this week in order to do some of those things. Maybe give some questions post-teaching, whether it's myself or others, some thoughts to think about through the week, something to interact with. For some people, that's like, hey, I'll do that. For others, you're thinking, that's dumb. And that's okay. It's new to me and Erica Klutstra. I've been trying to be trained to go through that. Well, we're looking at a sermon series this Advent called Gifts of Christmas. And our first gift of Christmas is Suit Sunday. Some of you might notice the attire of some people around here. So, yeah, I think that kind of got started on my installation service, and some Balzers and some others decided, hey, let's all wear our wedding suits we got from Jacob and Michelle's wedding. Was this started by you this time, Jacob? Were you the one? I think Jacob decided. So maybe we'll have to like post that on our website or something so we can all join in the fun or something like that. But you look very nice. You look very good. I feel very underdressed. We're looking at God's gifts found in the Christmas story. And before we even look at any of those, and this morning, Ryan and Lindsay just set things up wonderfully for us to hear. And we know, right? This is not the only teaching time. And that when we sing, that's not the only worship time. God is speaking throughout, and we have open hearts. This happens to be a time where we set our hearts about to look at God's word. And when we sing, we're doing some different things, but it's all the same. So no matter what God speaks to you, he'll do it in his way, in his time, through many different things. But as we look at the teaching time, this morning we're looking at joy. And we're looking at four gifts of Christmas this season we're looking at. You can see that. Joy, peace, hope, and love. But running underneath all of that, Lindsay mentioned it, is the gift of salvation. We won't be specifically focusing on it because that is what all of these things are wrapped up in. The reason that Jesus came at all at Christmas was primarily to save us. It wasn't his plan B. It's what he had planned all along. It's God's heart to do that. So this morning, I hope more than anything to inspire you. Sometimes it's mainly a teaching time. This morning, I want to inspire you. And it's my hope and my prayer that when you leave here, not only do you understand joy, but that you understand joy. Do you get what I mean? Not just understand, but you experience it. That you can go from here and know what it is in Scripture when we see the terms inexpressible joy. So we sing it. We see it on cards, joy to the world, the Lord has come, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. It's on cards, it's in Christmas songs. It's part of what we celebrate at Christmas. It's part of our focus. But the real question is, are we experiencing it? See, joy, it's not an emotion, right? Joy is not an emotion. It's an experience. God doesn't want us to learn about joy this morning. He wants us to experience it. But joy as a follower of Jesus is not rooted in our experience. It's rooted in his experience. Our joy as a follower of Jesus has completely to do with what Jesus has already done. Our belief in the truth of what Jesus did, that he came as a baby, that he died, rose again and ascended, our faith in that, our belief in that, leads to joy. If we don't know where we stand in Jesus, if we have no faith, if we've forgotten what this is all about, then we can't experience joy. The foundation, the root of our joy, is in what Jesus has already done. So have a look at this and see if it doesn't ground you a little bit.
According to the Bible, I am God's possession. I am his child, his workmanship. I want you to apply this to yourself. You are his friend, his temple, his vessel, a co-laborer, and his witness. You're a soldier, an ambassador, a building, a temple. You're his husbandry. You're a minister and an instrument. You're his chosen, his beloved, his precious jewel, and his heritage. In Christ, you've been redeemed by blood, set free from sin, set free from Satan, set free from the kingdom of darkness, chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined to be like Jesus, forgiven of all your trespasses, washed in blood, given a sound mind, given the Holy Spirit, adopted into God's family, justified freely by his grace, given all things pertaining to life, given great and precious promises, given ministry of reconciliation, given authority over the enemy, given access to God, and given wisdom for free. In Christ, you are complete, totally in him, free forever from sin's power. You're sanctified. You're fit for the master's use. You're loved eternally. You're eternally kept in the palm of his hand. You're kept from falling. You're kept by his very power, and you're not condemned. You're one with the Lord. You're on your way to heaven, quickened by his mighty power, seated in heavenly places. You're the head and not the tail. You're the light in darkness. You're a candle in a dark place. You're a city set on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. You are his sheep. You're a citizen of heaven. You're hidden with Christ in God and protected from the evil one. You're kept by the power of God. You're secure in Christ. You're set on a rock. You're more than a conqueror. You're born again. You're a victor. You're healed by his stripes, covered by his blood, sheltered by his wing, and hidden in his secret place. In him, you have access to the Father, a home in heaven waiting for you, all things in Christ, a living hope, an anchor to your soul, a hope sure and steadfast, authority to tread on serpents, power to witness, the tongue of the learned, the mind of Christ, boldness and access, peace with God, and faith like the grain of a mustard seed. And in Christ you can do all things, find mercy, come boldly to his throne, quench the fiery darts of the enemy, tread on him like a serpent, declare liberty to the captives, pray always, chase a thousand, defeat and overcome the enemy, and tread Satan underfoot. And the only things you cannot do in Christ is be separated from God, perish or be lost, be moved, be taken out of your Father's hand, be charged or accused, or be condemned.
Who have chosen to follow Christ. That's what we have. That's what all this is about. That's where we get our joy. That's where we're rooted. That's where we're established. That's where joy comes from. Joy doesn't come from feelings or experiences or what happens in life. Joy comes from what we already have. It's not based on what we do. It's based on what he has done already. We are not condemned. We stand firm in him. Our joy rises up from all of those things. That's good news. That is good news. Amen. That's the basis of joy. So imagine for me for a minute you are shepherds. I've got a few pictures of shepherds. There's some shepherds. It's kind of traditional. There's some shepherds. Freaked out. There's a shepherd. There's some shepherds. I don't know what shepherd you're more like, but imagine for a minute you're a shepherd. What would that have been like? You're raising sheep who will eventually be sent to the temple for sacrifice. That's what the shepherds around Bethlehem did. You wouldn't have been able to buy one yourself, probably. You were very low income. You were hardworking. Probably didn't have a lot of happiness in your life. Probably not a lot of good news. Can you smell the sheep? Just imagine. It's late night, kind of bunked down. You're waiting for things to happen. You can smell the sheep. You can feel the cool air. Maybe your worn-out clothing's a little itchy. Your feet are sore from walking. You're tired. What do you think? What are you feeling? What do you say to each other around the fire? What types of things do you hear? Here's some of the things you might hear as a shepherd. They might say, hey, Matthew, or Andrew, or Justice, or Bartholomew, or whatever your Jewish name was. Hey, it's your turn to wake up and watch until morning. Hey, it's your turn to find the lost sheep. It's your turn to go into town, be looked down upon because you smell, and be kicked out. There's a bear, there's a lion, there's wolves, there's a predator coming. Arm yourself. Hey, there's a sheep who's sick. Go care for it. There's bandits coming. Let's get ready. We've got to move on, and where we're going, it's very hot. We got to find higher ground. It's cold up there. Pack all your things. There's a storm coming. Find shelter. A sheep is wounded. Go and take care of it. What about you? What do you hear each day? Those might have been some of the things that shepherds heard each day. What do you hear? What type of news? What types of things do you experience each day? Are you hearing things like we watched in that video, or are you spending time in God's word? That's the reason we do it, right? It's not for check marks. It's not because God is really concerned that we have a quiet time for his sake. He wants us to spend time in his word and be grounded, so we hear these things every day, because the root of our joy, the foundation of our joy, the thing he wants to give to us, is in our salvation. It's in him. It's in what he's done. So what about you? What do you hear? And for those shepherds gathered there that night, and if you've got your Bibles, turn in Luke 2. They weren't expecting anything. They're just hanging out. They weren't ready for anything. And then it happened. They hear a completely different voice. They hear a completely different message than the one they had ever heard before. Luke 2, starting at verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Interesting word, isn't it? Guarding. You ever guarded anything? You ever sat by wondering if an animal's coming out? They had no shelter, wondering if there's bandits. Jesus talked about carrying a sword with you. It seems weird for Jesus to talk about. But when you traveled on those roads, especially from major town to major town, there were places that were notorious in Israel for robbers and bandits to come. These men who gathered on hillsides had no protection. They guarded, they sat on watch their sheep by night. Suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel of the Lord reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips and cloths. You'll find him in a manger. What an odd message. The angel says with certainty, we don't have to wonder about his message. He says, I bring you good news. The Greek term for good news is evangelizo. Okay, it's the term we get for evangelize, evangelism. We are an evangelical missionary church. All of us are evangelicals, those who follow Christ. It means to proclaim, one who's sharing good news regularly. You're bringing something. You're somewhat of a herald. You have something that you have to say, and it's not held inside. It's proclaimed. The angel says, I evangelize you. I witness to you. I'm sharing good news. That's the same term we use for gospel. What's the gospel? What's the good news of the faith? It's that God doesn't have a plan B. God had no plan B. God intended all along that we'd have relationship with him. And we walked away. And so he sent his son. He came to himself, fully God, fully man, as a vulnerable baby born without fanfare in a quiet way. And he came for us. And once he lived here about 33 and a half, 34 years, he was crucified. And he died. And he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. God come down fully God, fully man for us. What's the good news? The good news is that God wasn't content with us walking away. He came after us. While we were still sinners, while we wanted nothing to do with him, while the shepherds were unprepared, not thinking anything, while the temple people were going about their business, while shopkeepers were doing their thing, while a census was on, God came because he said, I'm not content that you stay where you are. I love you. I want you to experience something. And the primary thing I want you to experience is salvation. And as a part of that salvation, there are other gifts that come your way. And I want you to experience this first gift. I bring you good news of great joy. He came so that we might experience what he always intended. He came so we might have what Jesus gave up for us. He left his Father's side. He left perfection. He left all the things he rightfully had. All the things God wants for us, and he gave them up for us so that he stands in our place, trades it, and we receive it. He left all of that. That's good news. What was the shepherd's response? What would you do? Scripture says they were terrified. They were scared. They were freaked right out. Now, when I think about that, I think of the Lion King. Huh? What do you mean, think of the Lion King? See this? When the Lion King first came out, Stephanie and I took her younger sister, Allison, to go see the Lion King. And we came to this scene where Rafiki holds Simba up, and Simba's looking kind of freaked out. And it's kind of quiet in the theater, and Allison just leans over, and she says, "He looks freaked out." That's kind of what I think, maybe like 10 times worse, when I think of the shepherds. The shepherds were scared. We can get rid of Simba. They were scared. They were terrified. But you know what? They didn't turn and run. They stood their ground, and they believed in what was happening. They had faith. Faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the gospel. Faith is what leads to joy. Later on in Luke 2, we read these words. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So we don't actually read the words joy here in these verses, but they were clearly filled with joy. They said, let's go right now. And on their way, they're telling everyone, "Have you seen a couple? There's a baby, and it's born, and it's lying in a manger. Anyone know where a manger is? There were angels, and there's this couple, and I don't know where they come from." See, we have the whole story, right? We know who Mary and Joseph are. They don't know what they look like. They don't know where they're following a star. They're asking people. They're excited. They're full of joy. When's the last time you experienced joy like that? That's supposed to be our experience. And I don't say that as a guilt thing. I say that as an invitation. That is what the good news is all about. Have you ever had that much joy? It's freeing, isn't it? You're more childlike. You don't care. You have no inhibitions. The story is told of a young Asian believer, just to become a Christian through the work of a missionary, and he was starting to read through the Bible, and he came on Matthew 28:20, and it says this, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the way we regularly read it. But in the translation that he has, it says, "And lo, I am with you always." True story. And his name was Lo. So he got so excited. You see where this is going, don't you? He got so excited, and he went to this missionary, and he said, "God is with me. He knows about me. And the missionary says, of course he does. He loves you. You know, he's going through all the typical stuff. He said, no, no, no. Look, God said, lo, I am with you always. Didn't. All right. That's the kind of stuff that God wants us to experience. When we open his word, we find us on every page. We get so excited about what he's doing that we can't help but have joy. This begs the question, what are you experiencing? Have you forgotten all you have in Jesus? Maybe you've never decided to follow Jesus. Have you forgotten your first love? Have you forgotten the joy of your salvation? Why do we forget? Why do we forget to live in his joy? Why do we forget to live like the shepherds did in that moment? Well, sometimes we forget because we have a paper due, and we're already overwhelmed, and life just sneaks up on us. Sometimes we forget because we're on our fifth sleepless night with a crying baby or a sick person in our home, or we're just exhausted from work. We've been doing overtime, or we're working so hard, we're making no headway. We just can't see the end. Sometimes we forget when we're considering some of the big questions of life. Who am I? Should I date him? Should I marry him? Should I break up with her? What will I do with the rest of my life? What's God calling me to do? Is it time to move? Is it time to move on? Do they notice me? Does he love me? Will I ever overcome blank? It's been the same for so long. Do I have enough money to... Am I happy with myself? Who am I? Sometimes we forget the joy of our salvation because we're overwhelmed with life. But the common thread here in most of these questions is happiness. Happiness, this is the way I define it. Happiness is something you happen upon on the way to somewhere else. You never plan to find it. You can never plan to keep it. And just the moment you think you have it, it's gone. Happiness is elusive. Joy is not an emotion. Happiness is fleeting. I bring you good news of what kind of joy? Great joy. Great joy. Not happiness, but great joy. And it is great joy to who? Is it great joy only to those who go to church? Or only to those who have their stuff together? Or those who have a job? Or those who never have marital struggles? Those who've never tried drugs? Those who didn't go drinking last night? Is it only for those who brought their Bibles this morning? Is it only for those who serve at church? Is it only for those who give so that all this can happen, all this ministry? Is it only for those people? Or is it only good news if you fit in with God? Who's the good news to? I bring you good news of great joy that will be to, say it with me, all people. All people. All people. That was good. I didn't even cue you up here or anything. I bring you good news of great joy to all people. So why? Why doesn't this define us? He gives that good news and that great joy to all people. But it needs to be received. It's based on our salvation. It's based on our standing in Christ, that we're not condemned, that we have a new nature, that we're different. When you are reminded of that day after day, when you spend time in God's word and you see your name written on the pages, Jeremy, I am with you always, that's where joy starts to bubble up. Let me paint a picture for how it might be. What does it look like to live this out? Paul says this in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made right with God, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Paul's saying, look, here's what your faith has done. Here's what your belief has done. Because you placed your faith in Jesus, because you've experienced salvation, this is what happens. You were made right with God. You can experience peace. We're going to look more at peace next week. We're sharing communion. We're going to do some things together to help us have a chance to experience God's peace, but it's also brought you into a place of undeserved privilege. Do you feel like you're in a place of undeserved privilege? Does your daily walk feel like that? Not often. Life is hard. And it's sometimes confusing between what God says he's giving us and what we're actually appropriating, what we're actually experiencing. But God does say it's possible. And he doesn't say it as a way of guilt, okay? When you hear a voice of guilt, when you read something, when you hear something and you feel guilty, that is not God's voice. That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, I've made you. I will help you. I will empower you. I invite you here. I will come behind you. I will strengthen you. It's never condemning. We are not condemned in Christ at all. But in this place of undeserved privilege, we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So joy is based on what's behind our salvation, and it's based on what's ahead. We can confidently look forward to what is coming. Because of our faith in God, we've been made right with him. Because we've been made right with him, we know there's something better coming. That's both tomorrow and when we die. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 1, 6-9. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. You have feelings, you have emotions, and you understand the nature of God towards you, but sometimes you can't touch. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. There is joy ahead, Peter says. There's joy coming, and there's joy now, but you're going to face trials. These trials, these tests, this whole life stuff, everything you go through during each day, it's there to help you understand that your faith is real. Because if everything went good for you all the time, you would forget you're living in a sinful, broken world. And you'd forget you need God. And you'd forget there was salvation at all. And you'd forget there's better things to come because you'd be so focused on the better things now, you'd have no need. So God says, wrapped up in all of these things, and just an aside, I don't for a moment believe that God's plan for anyone is ultimate suffering through cancer and horrible things that come in life. But God understands that those things happen. And God is near and close. God does not say, believe in me, have faith. And once we do, he winds us up, sets us off on our life, and waits up in heaven for when we die. He's with us. He's saying, I'm walking with you through these trials. But know that in the tough stuff of life, and some of you sitting here are going through some very, very tough things. Very tough things. And there's those questions that choke out the joy. Get rid of them. God wants you to experience joy. It's not based on your circumstance. It's based on what Jesus has done. It's based on the faith for what he's done and the hope for what's to come. Joy is ours. Faith leads to joy. God has joy for all people, but we don't experience it because, first of all, we need to receive the gift of salvation. We need to believe in him and decide to follow him, be forgiven for our sins, be right with God, as Peter said, have right standing with him. But then in that, we need to do the same thing. Sometimes we kind of think funny about our walk, don't we? It takes all of faith to come to God. It's through grace. And then we think walking with Jesus is all about us and what we do and our hard efforts. Not at all. We walk with him the same way we come to him. And so Jesus comes and he lives a life the same way we can. He doesn't just model it. He lives it. And he says, I don't want you to try your best. I don't want you to try and mimic what I've done. I don't want you to experience joy simply by trying to do the things I've done. You follow me as you allow me to live in and through you. And it's based on what I've already done and what I'll continue to do. God gives us joy. He gives it. He stirs it up. He plants it in our hearts. It's ours for the taking. We simply need to receive that. And he stirs that up constantly as we're reminded of the joy of our salvation. You can't take it. You can't earn it. You receive it as you're open and willing. And it bubbles up and rises to the surface. Do you think for a second, if you were one of those shepherds, that that joy would fade anytime soon? Mm-mm. Not at all. But they would have to revisit their faith and their hope to experience it again and again and again. This morning, I just simply want to close with prayer. Prayers and encouragements that others have prayed for themselves and prayed for you when it comes to joy, that you might experience it. God wants us to experience joy, not happiness, joy. That in the midst of trials, in the midst of hard stuff, it'd be sitting right here. That we'd know he's more than a conqueror. He's our strength. He does not condemn us. We are saved. We are set free. We are new. We can take on anything because it's not about us. It's about him. It's not about what we do. It's about what he's already done and plants in us and stirs up. And we can't receive that unless we're reminded regularly of what he's done for us. David says this, and my soul will be joyful in the Lord. It will rejoice in his salvation. My soul will be joyful in the Lord. It will rejoice in the salvation that God is giving me. Restore to me, David says, the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to follow you. Make me willing to obey you. Nehemiah says this. He's speaking to God's people. They've just started to read God's word again and come back to God. And the whole assembly, all of God's people were together, gathered, and he gives them this encouragement as they come back to God from a hard, hard time. He says, go! And this is awesome for Christmas. This is prophetic over us at Christmas. Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. We do that at Christmas. Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. And share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go and do things together. Rejoice. Share meals and gifts. Take care of those who have nothing. Don't mourn. Don't be sad that you haven't followed God up to this time. Know that he's calling you back. And rejoice, because he will strengthen you to do that which you can't do. Jesus says this prayer days before he was crucified. In John 17, we find that Jesus prays for himself, his immediate disciples, and for those who have yet to follow him. And here's what Jesus prays for us. Now I'm returning to you, Father. I'm saying things in the world's hearing, right where everyone can hear them, so that my people can experience my joy completed in them. Good news of joy to all people. We're bookending Jesus' life. He's born. The night he's born, God says, I have good news. It'll bring you great joy. The day before Jesus is crucified, he says, Father, I'm praying these things for my people because all I want for them is that they would be full of my joy, that my joy would be complete in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join in the world's ways, just as I didn't join in the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. I'm not asking you take away these trials, but that you would guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with truth. Your word is consecrating truth in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world. I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. Let me reread that as we close. Now I'm returning to you, Father. I'm saying these things. You need to hear them so that my people can experience my joy complete in them. If today you're not experiencing that, it's not a guilt thing, it's a pity. It's a pity because there's a lot of things that God has for us. As we go through these gifts, and I know it feels weird, right? It's kind of heavy. We're talking about joy, and it's like, oh, that's not what God wants. It's a gift. It's given, and it's free. But it's based on our salvation. And so I invite you and I challenge you to be reminded daily of what you have in Jesus Christ. And as you do that, I promise you, you will experience his joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't really know what we might possibly do if we were on that hillside that night with those shepherds. We know you promised joy. We've been singing about it. We'll sing about it still. We write cards. We have messages. We long for your joy. God, it feels a little heavy in here this morning. And so, Father, I pray now that the same way you gave your gift to all people, that you desired us to experience joy, in that same way, I pray your joy will come down in our hearts. I pray that as we eat together today, as we share a meal, as we share gifts, as we do things this Christmas season, you would well up in us a joy that not only could we not deny, but that others would see too. Father, my prayer is that we'd be like the shepherds. That as we tell others of the joy we have, as we share our experience with others, it would just spill over and overflow. God, may we be a church as we meet with our community and we share a meal with those who don't have one. May we experience your joy. May we share your joy with them. And may it be based on your salvation, and may our joy bring others to salvation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.